Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 65, Quincy Lin. Quincy is known as the shoe master. This guy knows shoes. He puts out a list called gatedlist.com where he focuses on shoe categories specifically. And what I really, really appreciated about talking with Quincy is he really is laser focused. And you're going to hear a common theme throughout this interview that it just keeps coming back to that focused intensity on one thing until he masters it. It's really served him well, and I just think it's such a great story. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, tonight's guest, I'm really, really excited to really talk about specifics about focus. I think this gentleman really has figured out focus better than most. He is focused on shoes. So, hey, welcome, Quincy Lin. Welcome, Quincy.
Thank you for having me.
You know, you are the shoe guy. You are Mr. Shoe. You are very, very focused. Let's go back, though, before we, because I really want to break that down. I really want to understand it, and I really want to understand staying in a particular category and what that does for you, that channel. But I want to understand, first off, why are you an entrepreneur? You know, you're an engineer by trade. You're a college graduate. You are, you know, a technical guy. Why are you an entrepreneur?
Yeah, actually, that's a very good question. My usual answer only go back to a few years ago. But as I thought about it, actually go way back when I was a little child in elementary school. I never talked to tell anybody about this, but I think that's has something to do with it, because in the elementary school back in China, there was a one incident that they have a invention competition. So that extended all the way to the elementary level. At that time, actually on the local level in the Canton province, actually I won the gold medal for a invention that I created along with my teacher's advice. So way back then, I'm kind of by nature love to tear things apart and create something. I always have some idea about something new that can be, things can be better than. After I came over to the United States and, went through schools like everybody else, and to become an electrical engineer in the Silicon Valley for the past, 18 years. But that spirit, I think, is still inside of me. And I think for some reason, entrepreneur, that's something I don't really think that way, because I associate, being an entrepreneur or having your own business is kind of for some reason, tied to the politics, and I don't like politics. So for a long time, I put that aside.
Hmm. So, well, what age did you come from China over to the U.S.?
That was back in 1987.
So that's what, 28 years ago. So you were a teenager.
That's right. I finished first year in high school in China. So I started in the 10th grade in high school here in Lincoln High School, San Francisco.
Could you speak English when you got here?
Oh, no, not at all. Actually, we learned a little bit in China, but came over here. I enrolled in they call it ESL, English as a second language classes. And then I built from there.
Wow. I mean, that's really impressive. I mean, especially at that age, because you've already, a little child. It's simple, right? Your brain isn't written all that stuff down. Now you to do it at your age. That's really impressive. So you came here. Did you know you were going to be an engineer? I mean, was math your thing? I mean, what led you that direction?
Actually, I started it not in engineering, even though I love to tear the things apart. Actually, I have another side of me is I started as a interior design.
Really?
Yeah. Because
are you an artist?
No, actually, I'm really bad in drawing, but okay. I kind of have the sense of appreciate what looks good, what's beautiful, and what, you know, aesthetically looks good to me. And so I have this kind of visual, you know, image about things that look good. And so I started it as an interior design designer, and I didn't get my degree, but I went through the courses. But ultimately, I kind of get bored because the you know, one of the step would be to learn how to draw, hand draw a lot of the, you know, architectural drawing, things like that. And I got bored. And at that time, that was in the community college in San Francisco, and I got involved in the you know, with something else that caused me to, you know, delay my school. But ultimately, I ended up, you know, enrolled in the electrical program and went down to Cal Poly Pomona to finish my degree and to be an electrical engineer.
So you would have seen the bubble of the internet, right? You would have seen it pretty hot and heavy in San Jose, San Francisco, and Palo Alto, and all that jazz.
Yes, actually, come to think of it, when I graduated, and I was the only two people that the Cisco system came to Cal Poly Pomona to hire the test engineer. I was one of the two got selected. And I remember the went up to Cisco system in Santa Clara for interview. I was like, never been to a hotel, right? So I was right up with my classmate, and I thought, yeah, let's, you know, we stay in one room because they usually have a two double bed, right? I mean, twin bed. They said, no, you have your own room. I said, what? Really? That's a lot of money involved, right? But when I heard the story that candidates to the, you know, the big company, they got, you know, if they travel from a different state, they, the big company send a limousine to pick them up, right? I was like, wow.
Nice.
So I was living in San Francisco, so I basically drove down to Santa Clara for the interview, but I need to stay the night before. So that was a good time for with Cisco system, but until I think 2001, I worked for a Cisco system for 2 years, 2.5 years, and then they hit that major layoff before the bubble actually happened. So. So I kind of went through that.
Let me ask you this question, because this is inquiring to me, right? When you were in high school, was the curriculum of that area geared towards high tech? Did it seem that way? I mean,
no, not at all. In high
school, so it's just regular high school.
Regular high school, yeah. Actually, my main thing is the to English, and then try to stay away from the literatures as much as I can. So I barely passed my high school in the literature.
Well, it wouldn't make sense to you. I mean, it doesn't make sense to us. And we've been trained for our whole life. We try to figure out some of those words. They still don't make sense. All right, I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about your foray. Well, I want to actually dig a little bit more into your computer background, because or the electrical engineer part, because I think that transfers so well over to this business for a lot of reasons, and I want to dig in that. So let's take a quick break.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com.
All right, before we jump back in, this is the part where we really get down to specifics, and we spend quite a bit of time dissecting his list. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen a lot of lists out there, and there's real similarities for most of them. But there's a couple things that make his list a little bit different. There's a real completeness. I mean, he really has figured out, again, he solved a problem. Stuff that he wanted on the list that he was getting, he didn't get. He made sure they're on this list. I think that's a great, great lesson.
If you can fix a problem that you have, because more than likely others have the same problem, that's probably a business, and that's what he was able to do. The other thing was, we spent some time talking about his investment in his VAs. I've not heard of anybody even talk about what he's doing with his VAs. He's created a business, and he's taking that business approach with that, and I think that's a great lesson, and I think there's some real continuity and some real savings. He's putting the money up front because he's looking at the long game, and I think it's really smart. So let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Quincy Lin, and Quincy is the shoe guy. Everybody knows him as the shoe guy, Gated List. He is puts out lists about shoes, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I want to finish the discussion about your background in the high-tech world, because you really saw it all. You rode through the bubble. Did you lose your job when the bubble hit?
I did. I for 6 months, actually, during that time, Cisco Systems gave a generous 6 month severance package to all those got laid off. So during those 6 months, I found another startup and worked for a few years. And then before I moved on to another startup at that time. But later on in the network storage area.
So you went through startups. So you were working, you were one of the few in the original phases. That environment, you know, I've seen it glamorized on TV in positive ways and in negative ways, right? Mm-hmm. But that really does teach you to leave it all on the table, right? You're putting it all out there. There's no way you're holding back. You're going to work until the work is done, regardless. There's no way you're not. Do you think that taught you anything great that you can bring to your Amazon business and your list business?
So the the two things that I learned while I was working for the startups, the first thing would be I was wearing many hats. So I get the opportunity to try on different things my way. And usually it worked. That's a big opportunity for me. The pay is one thing, but opportunity means more than the pay to me.
So you saw the process from so many different points of view. Is that a way to say it too?
Actually, I saw it and I got to involve in one form or the other.
Okay, so you put your hands on it. So you can not only talk the talk, you walk the walk already. So you've seen it develop through that whole thing. That's a great skill set to be able to watch that process all the way through from start to end.
Yes, with the first startup, I came on board with after the Cisco system. That one actually is it's a smaller startup, and I saw it didn't really, take off, but the experience, it's in-house, engineering department's very small. And me being the senior test engineer, probably after a year or two, I'm the only one left. And so that put a lot of responsibilities on me, anywhere from, the design process, work with the coworkers and develop the test fixtures, interact with the contract manufacturers, and all the way through, communicating with the upper management. A few years and gave me a lot of opportunity in that sense to learn a lot. And so I think that's valuable, because right after working with a big company like Cisco System, now all of a sudden you change the whole thing. The dynamic is different with a smaller startup company. A huge contrast and huge differences, but it presents opportunity to me.
I think to me, that you learned so much more in that second, in that startup than you ever would learn at Cisco. I mean,
I think so.
If you wanted to learn a piece of a tunnel in a mega company like that, yeah, that's great. But you'd never get to see. You lose the context, right? You touch so little. And in what you're describing, you've touched everything. I love that. That's a great skill set to bring to this business for sure.
Mm-hmm. And
what was the other thing that you learned?
The other thing is the being in a supervisor role or in a kind of a management role, that also helped me to mainly in working with people. I cannot simply tell people what I think is the best. I need to work with people because they do have their talent, they have their skill set, they have their opinions, that I need to learn to listen and work together. So I move very fast. I have an idea, then I want to get implemented right away. But putting me in that kind of a position helped me to slow down and give it another thought. You know, pay attention to what other has to say. That's a valuable skill for me, because giving my personality, I just want to get it done right away.
So it gives you a chance to let others collaborate. I'd say it is hard, and not everybody's going to work at your level, and so you learn that. Well, that's a great transition, because you have a business now called GatedList.com, right?
That's right.
And GatedList.com is a list service where you provide feature. Well, let's talk about the features. You have lists that you provide, and you only specifically handle shoes, correct?
That's correct.
Why shoes?
Shoes is it's unique among all the categories available on Amazon.com. I started not just shoes. Actually, I started like many others. I attack multiple categories. That's how I got started. And even before that, the reason I started, can I talk about even before what happened, how did I come
to
it?
Oh, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Personally, I started with the Amazon FBA in April 2014. And like many of the FBA seller, I went through RA, right? I basically bought everything I can lay my hands on, and as long as my budget allows, and if I earn $2 profit, then I would do it. Just get my hands on to learn the process and to get the excitement to receive, just the biweekly the payout.
It's a report card, isn't it? It is a report card. You know, you send something in, it sells, you make a little money, you're like, hey, I got an A today, right?
Yeah, it feels great, actually. Yeah, it feels great. And it's a totally different ball game than my my first business, which is the candy machine business. Because that one, I basically serviced the machine once every 2 months. So it's not as exciting as every 2 weeks you get a payout. But that's a step up from my first business. And so I was doing multiple categories, and except a restricted categories. After a while, then I move on to the restricted category. I get ungated on multiple one. And then I came across the, as you do more, you say, okay, am I spending the same amount of time? Am I able to get more out of it, right? That automatically comes to me. I'm the type that I want to get my hands on something, but after a while, I want to get better at it without spending more time on it, right? So I want to figure out a process. So I kind of think about what category I want to go into, which is, I put in less time, but I can achieve the same amount of profit. So shoes comes to mind. Actually, it's not because me, because I don't know anything about shoes at that time. That was back in the September-October timeframe in 2014. I never sold any shoes before, so I need to learn. I need to figure it out. I mean, I'm looking at different categories. I got ungated for shoes, watches, handbags, clothing, and some other categories. I need to choose. Okay, I pay a lot of money because I pay Karen to do the spend more money to get it ungated for me.
Right.
I say I need to do something since I'm ungated. But what category I should go into? So I look at it, and then I talk to my good friend Bob Wiley. he has a lot of experience, such a nice guy. And then he has, as we talk, and then he said that, hey, you know, shoes is very profitable, but not too many people are doing it. And at that time, I already experienced with about nine or eight different sourcing lists out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what the list look like in general. So I have some idea, and but that time I didn't think about to come out with my own. But until Bob mentioned that to me, so I say, hey, can I do this? Because at that time I already started to have a VA doing the sourcing for me. So I just built on the idea to make a bigger team. I built a team, and then I think I can help other people as well and make it a business for myself, another income stream. So shoes becomes the, as I learn more and more, it costs more to buy the inventory. So automatically there's a natural kind of a barrier for people to enter into it. And then because the less people getting into it, the competition become less, and the margin it's very high. And compared to any other, all the toys, all the items that I get $2 better profit, you know, from. And it's just so good that I kind of cannot go back and do other categories.
I say a lot about this business is learning what not to buy, right? Because it takes just as long to package up a set of shoes, right? And it's actually a little easier, right? Because they come in a box, generally. They come in a box, and lots of the companies send them to you. They're already banded. You don't have to do much of anything. Sometimes you have to take a sticker off or two, depending which retail store that OY sends to you. But it takes just as long to bag a Shopkins refrigerator set, right? Because that actually probably takes longer because you got to put that in a plastic bag and then you got to put label on it, right? This box, you put a label on and you shoot it in, right? However, as you're saying, and your point is you're getting a $15 to $35 or more profit as opposed to that $2 to $12 profit, right? And that effort is the same. Agree?
Actually, no.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me what you would say. Go ahead. Tell me what you would say.
Because I already, at that time, I completely skipped the prep and ship part. I handed it off to somebody else already.
Okay, so that makes it even easier, right? Because you just send it to somebody else. But even in that point, it's still the same cost, right? You send a box of shoes to somebody. It's going to be the same cost as if they have to bag it. I mean, it's pennies difference. But my point is the same, that the effort is the same. The return is materially different. Is that fair?
Kind of. So the effort actually is less, but the return is higher.
Okay. Well, and the return's materially higher too. I mean, it's not a little bit higher, materially higher.
Yes. Yes. You're talking about the profit, right? Not the shoe return.
Right. No. I'm talking about the profit return, right? The return of your investment. It's materially higher.
Yes.
Well, and not necessarily. I guess I shouldn't say that. The return of investment might not be higher. The profit dollar amount is higher generally.
It is.
Yeah. And so it makes sense why you went into one. You know, one of the things I'm in a lot of list groups. I get a lot of them, or I've been in a lot of them, and I noticed yours is very, very, very complete. And I thought to myself, the minute I saw it, I thought, is it because that's what he wanted when he was using other people's lists? You wish they were as complete as this, so you decided to do it yourself and kind of fix a problem?
Yes, because after this 8 or 9 list I've been through, I actually, starting with the last list I used, I think I consider the best
Well, don't name it because I don't want to belittle anybody in any possible way because I think there's a place for every single one of them.
It is,
and I think that there really is. So I don't want to do that. But go ahead, just generically.
Yeah, generic. I mean, that that last list I used, I think I really liked the format. So that gave me the idea of creating my own, actually. And I believe in a very small distribution size for any list, because it totally makes sense that to try to minimize the competition, right?
Right.
And that by nature, if you have a small distribution list, that means you can only serve so many people. And the FBA community is big enough to allow multiple excellent lists coexist. So at the beginning, actually, I had the idea that saying I would try to learn from the people who already been doing the list. And then because based on my idea, it's quite naive at that time, but I just asked anyway. I would say, you know, I kind of want to learn how to have, create a list on my own, but I'm not quite sure the process. But based on my observation, as long as we have a small list, that means we can all find our own people or clients without, you know, affecting each other, right? So, but of course, I got turned down. Then that's a little story along the way. But I was learning, right? I don't mind asking things like that. The worst case is no. So I got the idea, I got the answer. So I just started out to create my own. And
well, I think, you know, I don't want to downplay it, because I mean, you're using images, which really help a lot, because when you visually look at it and then you take and you look on the particular store that you mentioned, it is so important to make sure they match. You know, one little word off, one little number off can make it a mess. But now I'm looking at the image. I'm looking at a really good description. I'm looking at the place that it's to be bought. I'm looking at the rank. I'm looking at the number of sellers and how many they have. Is that what that means? Sellers and stock?
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at the popularity, which I think most people tend to ignore, yet in the shoe world, it's a big deal. The ratings and review, of course, is a big deal in everything. But you're putting the Keepa chart history as long as you have out for it, which is a big day. You tell us the number of days. I think that's a big deal. The ASIN number, the price trend, store price, buy box price, profit, return of investment, break even. And I love the break even. I think that's a one that's missing in a lot of lists. And I think that's a great tool that, you know, hint to everybody they should add that, because it gives you a chance. As I always remember Matt Kelly saying this, is, Steve, if you bought it at the right price, your worst case scenario generally is going to be you broke even. What kind of business can you be in where worst case scenario you break even, because there's only upside from that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're giving tips on any other discounts and things like that, and the right sizes to look for that are real peak. I think that's above and beyond most lists that I've seen, and I'm really impressed with that. I want to tell you that.
Thank you.
Really, I can see the value, and I don't use credit. I don't suggest people do. And in shoes, because it's a long term, correct? You buy a pair of shoes, you're not going to get paid generally next week on that pair of shoes. It happens. But generally, you buy 100 pairs of shoes, you're not going to sell 100 pairs of shoes that same week. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. It takes time.
It takes time. And I describe shoes or clothing or any of the gated categories. And I think we should say that shoes happen to be the topic tonight, but it really is any of these specialized categories. You have to fill a funnel. You just got to keep filling this funnel, and eventually it fills up, and then you hit that stride and you start getting that consistent performance over time. Now, shoes is one of the biggest hang-ups with shoes are return percentages, correct?
For people, yes.
Yes, yes. What's your return percentage experience?
It's anywhere between 10 to 18%.
Yeah, I think we were last 17%, have been as high as 17%, especially in returnuary or January, right?
Yes.
a lot of them come back. But it does. But I haven't had any come back to me. Have you had shoes returned to you from Amazon?
Return not because of the customer return. Actually, it's because today is the February 15th is the long-term storage fee due date.
Right.
And I have to do something. I check, okay. I look it up, and some of them are not selling. I have Amazon to return to me.
Okay. And you can do something with the third party or whatever. It's an interesting observation about shoes. Long time to sell, very expensive to get in. However, you know, you're going to get a better return than it most everything else, right?
That's right.
You're going to have a much higher percentage of returns, but generally speaking, you're not going to see those returns. They go right back out for sale. Now, there's a fee, was it $4 or $6 every time they get returned that you incur, and they repackage or what have you. But it's still, you don't have to physically touch that product. So I think that that's powerful. Do you think there's another category that is similar to shoes that's really untapped in your experience out there?
I'm still focusing on shoes. I do check out other categories.
Is there one that piques your interest?
What is it again?
Is there one that piques your interest to say, boy, you know, that would be similar to shoes?
Actually, I'm looking at watches.
Okay. And so you see some similarities there where it's a big barrier to entry again. They're expensive. It's gated, which is a value. And I don't see many watch lists out there. I think I've heard of one coming, but I don't think I've seen many out there, right?
I have not seen one yet. But okay. It's also kind of quite difficult to source. I mean, comparing to shoes. As also the clothing, it's not as easy as shoes.
Right. Yeah, clothing's very complicated. Very complicated. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, you've done very well. Now, your list is limited to how many people received the list?
25.
Okay. And so your thinking is with 25 people, competition is minimalized because, you know, there's, you know, 10 to 15 items on a list, right, every time it comes out.
Right.
Not all 25 people are going to buy the same pairs.
That's true. Based on the observations, some people actually subscribe but didn't fully utilize it based on the activities shown. And so the reality is that even though the maximum is 25 and if the capacity is full based on subscription, but in reality it's less than 20 people are actively utilizing the list.
Okay. And so that makes it worth it. What's the cost of your list service?
I have actually quite a few different choices for people. One is we have 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, and 5 days. And I just recently added a la carte list. That means you only buy the list whenever you want, not tie into any subscription.
Right. So it makes sense for biweekly payouts, right? So if a lot of people who are newer sellers have biweekly payouts, so they don't have the cash for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So to buy a weekly list is kind of a waste. I get that. Mm-hmm. And because by the time they go to use it, a lot of that stuff's gone. So in this case, they can wait every 2 weeks. They get their money. Boom. They can buy an a la carte list, as you say, and take advantage of it. I think that's a real smart idea. And I can see the reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's sent to 25 people. There's 10 plus fines a day. Your goal is 50% plus ROI after inbound shipping, and I think that's important because shoes are heavy. You know, shoes are anywhere from 2 to boots can be 6-8 pounds, right?
Yes, I put it there because when we do the calculation for the net profit, everything is estimate, right? We do our best to make it as accurate as possible. I put the inbound shipping there because the $15, that means you don't think, okay, $15, what about the shipping? Do I subtract the shipping from the $15? I just want to make it clear that, no, the shipping already, it's not part of it.
Okay. And so that really helps you understand what it is. You're giving extra tips for cashback and store promotion, right? And I think it's very simple, and I think it's really well done, and it's real clear what you're offering. Minimum price to get in is how much? The one-day list is cost how much?
One day, if it's a subscription plan, one-day subscription plan is $57 per month. So that would be one list a week.
I want to stop there, though, because you take it a little further. You say, hey, Steve, if you want to join this and you want to get started in this, we recommend you have a budget of at least $500. I see that question get asked a lot of the list people. Hey, how much money do I need if I do join your list? You're real clear about it. You really need to have at least $500 a month budget so you can take advantage of it. I really appreciate that, too.
Thanks. And I think it's important because I set out to help. If I put out a service like this, I want to make sure people really can benefit from it. And for me, I can help, right? And I didn't have this budget number at the beginning, but as I move on with the list, and more and more I realized people actually would like to know. So along with that, for each subscription plan, I have a budget number posted, and it also that go along with a document I put together. I want people to read before they consider joining any of the subscription. It's called the Read Me First. So I want to prep people to have the right expectation before they go in, because there are two type people. One, they just want to say, I have extra money. I want to, hey, shoes is hot, and I heard a good thing about shoes, so I just dump that money in and see what happened. That's one type of people. After that, whether they lose, they make some money, they're happy, that's okay, right? That's extra money. But another type of people, they want to make it a consistent income stream off just the shoe category. That's a different kind of expectation, and the approach to do well is different. So I want the people to at least have some ideas, have the expectation set correctly, so they can, you know, after a while, they say, oh, okay, I already expect this is what happens. I don't feel bad if I don't, you know, I don't do well.
Well, I think that that's smart. And again, so you're serving both sides of it, but you're real clear on the expectations. Again, I applaud you for that, because I think that's a miss for a lot of people. They have this, oh, I just buy the list and magically the unicorn sends stuff to my house and I all make money on everything. No, you still have to do some work, right? And you still have to be cautious with your money, because you can dump a lot of money in shoes very quickly. And as you say, you have shoes that don't sell. They should have sold. Statistically, based on all the stats, they should have sold, right?
That's right.
You wouldn't have bought them. But something happened. Something changed.
At the beginning. Here's the reality is, if you've never been to a shoes category, if you don't feel like you just, you know, selling one or two, you know, from time to time, there's a period of time, I would say 6 months of time. If you give yourself 6 months to learn how to pick the right shoes to buy, and after that, that's the time you try to really ramp up your shoe inventory. Because no matter how good you think you pick the shoes, at the beginning, since you don't make a very good buying decision, so your shoe end up not selling as expected. What we need to do just need to recoup the initial investment, because during that time, your main focus will be learning how to source the right shoes to buy, not on the profit.
It's tuition, right? It's tuition.
Right. You learn and then you ramp up. So a lot of people I've seen that they want to, within 3 months, they want to really get to their profit goal. But they're not seeing it, so they kind of get discouraged.
And then, so you're saying take a couple months to learn the business,
yes,
to learn what sells, what doesn't. And I guess that's the same thing. Learn what not to buy. You know, just because the rank says it's good, that size doesn't sell for a particular reason, right? There's not that many.
Right.
So you mentioned that you're using a prep company, and you don't have to name which one. Do you run into trouble with some of these companies' payment? Okay, and I'll talk about some experiences, right? Because you're shipping it to a different location than where your credit card payment is going to be, the billing address for it, right? That's an issue for a lot of stores, because that's typical of fraud, right? They see that. They say, hey, wait a second. Quincy lives in California. Why would I be shipping them to Florida? That doesn't make any sense to me. And he's buying a lot of them. So it's not like he's buying one pair as a gift. This is clearly not a gift. Something doesn't make sense. And so they hold up your order. Have you experienced any of that?
Yes. I had my order canceled, and I no longer be able to ship to a different address, except the shipping to my house. and I have not been blacklisted yet with any of the online store. But yes, order canceled, it happened multiple times to me.
Yeah, and it's so again, some of these companies don't care that you're reselling. They don't really want to know that. But they're stopping it because they think it's a fraud. They think somebody got your credit card number, and they're buying it without your knowledge, and they're sending it to a third party. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. Why would you be sending shoes to Florida, right? I mean, that's what they're thinking, isn't it? So I can understand that. Sometimes they're reasonable and they say, okay, we just wanted to verify that this was your order and that. But other times, if you're not quick, and this is a lesson that I learned, if you're not quick to get back with them, if they call you for confirmation, if you don't do it very, very quickly, by the time you go back, oh, that stuff's not available anymore. It's like, whoa, what happened? That's been my experience.
Yes. So whenever they only happened to me for all the online shoe store, I order, if it's the first time I order, they will call me because the billing and shipping address is different. And mm-hmm. after that, and they will no longer call me because they already have the record. It's legit to.
A legit ship to, yeah. Okay. All right. So you've seen that after time, that most of the time that goes away. Okay. So, you know, so there are some buying hassles, but it sounds like you get through them once you work with the customer or work with that that vendor. They get to know you. So I that's cool. Okay, so let's talk about what's different with your list than other lists. There's a lot of lists out there. There are a lot of details on them. What makes your VAs give a better list? Because, you know, from an appearance point of view, it's really aesthetically pleasing in that. But what makes your VAs better, do you think?
I think what really make a difference is the quality of the list. As we all, for all people who try to use the VA, it's important to provide, you know, detailed, clear instruction to the VA, and the VA basically just follow that, and then will provide deliver the result. So in the past years, I found that even though you give a clear instructions, and so the VA understand clearly what to what's expected, but it takes, there's something else that will affect the performance of the VA. So for gated list, from the beginning, I set out to build a team instead of simply hire a VA. So it's a little different in building a team than just hire somebody to do certain things for you. So as an engineer, you know, working for a big company in the past, 18 years, I understand how important it is as an employee, how the company treat employee will affect how the employee contribute to the company's success. So for my personal experience, I value opportunity and appreciation more than the pay. Pay, of course, is important, but, you know, just for the from a personal satisfaction and point of view, I think I would rather work with a company that value my contribution and also provide me the opportunity to move up to the next level. So I treat
so my, you're talking about people in another country that you really are considering part of your team. I mean, this is not just you're using a service, hey, I got a VA for the week or whatever, not a temp service. These are employees for you.
Yes, and I usually call them my team member, just like treating anybody I hire for example, for some software development work. I don't call them like an employee or, you know, I call them a team member. I really, from the beginning, from the get-go, I instill in all of them. I started with three, and then I instill all of them the concept of a team. We're building a team. We succeed as a team. Their contribution matters. So I did a few things differently from the beginning. So first of all, I actually I managed to give them enough incentive and benefits. So all the initial three that I began with, they all quit their other contracts as a VA. So they all started with multiple contracts. I'm one of them. And then my working relationship eventually, they automatically drop all the other contracts, and they tell me they only work for me. So until right now, I have 18 members, and they all work full time for me. I don't hire part time. I only hire full time, and then they are the well trained. Initial three, they're trained specifically by me, but I developed them so good that actually they go out and train the others, the rest of the team for me. So which is a great time saver for me. And then they know each other from the beginning. They communicate with each other. They talk, you know, to each other during the day. We're using a Slack platform to put all the whole team together. In addition to the traditional thing of training a VA, are there certain things that I put in place to ensure they only work for me for the long term? First of all, I provide excellent benefit for the team members. And I provide medical insurance to cover the, you know, for the whole year. And then I provide the pay sick leave 5 days a year for the first year. And then I provide the holiday pay for them, and then they, of course, they when they, you know, they have the family, they all have a young family, and they have anything that they need to attend to, take a day off, then I make sure I have enough people to cover the delivery. So basically, all clients of the gated list will not see anything different, because behind the scene there are a lot of things happening affecting the delivery of the list, and then. I talk to each VA because each one of them is unique, bringing a unique skill set besides the product research. So I talk to them. I understand they all have they want to do something different in their life other than the doing the research. So I will provide training for them. For example, I have one VA really like to write. So write blog posts and things like that. So I provide them with a Udemy training course, and I ask them to, you know, take the time out to, you know, educate, to get a chance hands-on and learn. And then another one like to draw. So I provide the graphic design training for him. So this is the thing I think will add value to my team member. I want to build them up. One day, say if they decide to leave the research team, and then go on and do something else. I want them to leave better, with a better skill set than they first started working for me. Yeah.
Well, you're building a longevity. I mean, you're building a consistency, because I think that's part of it, you know, is you're only as good as the team's weakest link, right? I mean, Yes. That's really true. And so because you've invested so much in these team members up front, you're going to get that benefit for the long time, because when you turn one over, we all know what the cost of your business. It affects things, right? And there's a learning curve to that stuff. So you're really investing in their future. I think that's so smart. I don't know of anybody else who's – I've not heard of anybody even talk about the stuff that you're doing. It's really impressive.
Right. So I learned this based on Chris Ducker's virtual assistants. And make all the sense to me. So I feel great because they really appreciate me – investing in their life, and in exchange I have the loyalty, I have the excitement, I have the a working team. They work with each other, and then they communicate, they talk to me in private their problem and anything, just like more like a team and more like a friends and like a family. So that really works well for my current stage of my business. So I think that really make a difference.
It makes a huge difference. And again, you're offering consistency, because you don't have to worry, because you've built this over time. I love it. I love it. I don't see anybody else doing it. You know, one of the things that I think I'm really impressed with is your personal habits, some of the things that you've done to really just get your focus on. So tell me about what you think some of the personal habits that have contributed to your success.
Habit, I think focus is being one thing, right? Focus from the beginning. I think once you focus in anything, you will find yourself become an expert. And give you an example. After I started the shoe list idea since November 2015, and I launched the service in March. So it took me 4 months to prepare for it. And up until this day, I know I've been tempted, to be honest. I've been tempted to venture into other categories or other list service. But up until this day, I'm still finding it. There are things for me to learn just in the shoe category alone. And I think if I drill a little down more, I can even make it even better than what is right now. I know it's the quality, it's excellent. But I want to, that give me the idea that I can continue for in 2016. Actually, I have things, exciting thing coming down in the pipeline in 2016 on the shoe category alone. So I think doing that for after 1 year, I'm still focusing. So I think the benefit is quite obvious for all the clients. And also, I don't usually do any advertisement, any like a marketing too much.
Right. And but, yet your list is generally full.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Full and except some of the spot I reserve, you know, make sure it's not overflowing, but usually it's by word of mouth in the FBA communities, among the Facebook communities. So I think I'm quite happy with the result because I think the quality will speak for itself.
I couldn't add anything more. You know, in an offline part of the conversation, you and I talked about Steve Jobs' book, his autobiography book, and you talked about the three things that that he used that you've been able to bring into your life. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I think that's I like Steve in a way that he really focused, and then he understand the need of the customer better than anybody else in that specific niche, like a cell phone, right, a smartphone. And also he built the iOS and the iPhone, the hardware itself, the phone itself, beautifully. Even the box that housed the iPhone is like a sought after item on the Craigslist, for example. So I built my with the same concept, I built my list, gated list, along the same idea, same lines. The three things. First of all, is I want to laser focus on doing the shoes category really, really well. Okay, so that's why I continue to spend the time doing it, and my list has evolved. If the way the list that you're seeing now on the screen has been evolved, I think many, many times to be better and better. I can constantly adding new stuff into it because I discover more stuff personally I think would be helpful in making a good sourcing decision. So I keep adding and benefit the clients. So that's the first thing, laser focus and make me, can contribute, make it better and better. And secondly, I think you understand the needs of the people who are selling shoes, because when they approach shoes, they have different questions, they have different approach. They think that's what should work. But based on my experience as personally as a shoe seller, I went through all that. I understand what it takes. So I understand the need because I'm part of the people doing it. So I know very well. So that's the second thing. And the third thing, I want to deliver my list just for the look of it. Now, I'm not talking about the content, the comprehensive data included in the list. Just the look of it. I spend a lot of time. Every day I open it, I look at it. If I want to build a list that can only fit my MacBook 15-inch screen without scrolling up and down, left or right, what should be included and still within, you know, maintains within the screen boundary? That's why I constantly try to figure that out. And so far, so good. I'm being able to manage through a different way because I need to ditch a lot of data. It seems to be needed, but actually it's not needed. When you look at the shoes, buying shoes, certain things, actually it's not needed. But some of them need to be included that nobody else is doing. That's why I constantly, you know, doing thinking on that. So at the end, it's going through all three things, the list as of today, and let me tell you, there's still things I can improve on.
Well, but I think that that's just, you've taken that lesson from him and you've applied it, because it is beautifully done. It's so artful. You know, when I look at your website, the quality of the photos that you use, the graphics that you use, I mean, it's just really, really something. And I think you're taking that aesthetically pleasing thing really far. And I think it shows, you know, and I noticed it. I appreciate it. How about, can you give us any podcasts or books that you that you listen to or read? So you've already mentioned, or we mentioned, the Steve Jobs book, the autobiography, and you mentioned Chris Drucker. Any podcast that you listen to that you think would be benefit?
Yes, Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So I started my actual FBA business by listening to it. So that's a very great one. He constantly add value to my business understanding, in terms of giving me the eye opening what's possible out there. And he's a sincere guy. I want to be,
oh, there's,
you know,
no
sincere.
Question. You are absolutely right. Yeah, I love it.
Another
yeah.
thing really impressed me is he disclosed his income.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So not too many people doing it. So I actually try to do the same thing, but in a different way. So if you go into my website, on the upper left hand corner next to the logo, you can see my my shoe numbers posted there. So at least once a month, I will post my shoes number, including the profit. I know a lot of people out there doing it's okay. I understand why people just give it a sale number, but usually it doesn't really reflect to the level that really help people to understand what the possibility is. So I include the profit in it. So I'm in the position to be able to do that. I'm very transparent about my performance in terms of the shoes. I want to give people the idea that if I can do it, so can you. It's not difficult. You can access all the tools that I use, and the same philosophy and the approach to buying. And all the things that you already have, I just need to let you know how I did it. And then if you can follow, then you'll be able to achieve the same thing. There's nothing magical. So I learned from Pat in that essence. I think that's at least I can do it right now. So people can go do there. So right now, this is the end of the last day of the January. So once the inventory lab is updated with its number, put the data from the Seller Central, I will, within a few days, I'm going to post my January number on the website, so people can compare my December and January. Actually, January is doing better than December. I was a little surprised
awesome.
Myself.
But that's awesome, though. Now, think about that. Again, you know why? Because of the category you're in. If you were selling Star Wars lightsabers, you would have sold a lot more of those in December than you would in January, right?
Yeah.
Logically.
Yeah.
So because you're in a different category, but you would have been competing against how many people? So I just love it. How about any books you can recommend?
I like the book about
How to Win Friends.
Yes.
Yeah, Dale Carnegie. I love that book.
That book, yes.
That's one you should read every year.
Yes.
I really believe it. It's just so good.
And that helped me with the management with my team members, and then also communicate with them. Mm-hmm. Also, the other one is the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the beginning with the end in mind, the rule. And then I personally like the Morning Miracle. Actually, I forgot the author, to be honest with you. I just grabbed
That's okay.
the concept. And another thing I really like is I want to – time is limited for everybody, and so with me. So I want to read a lot of books quickly. So I came across this idea about – reading a summary of many books all at once. If I want to dig into any of them, then I will buy the book and go a little further. But at least I grab the summary, the essence of the book. So I subscribe to a service. It's called Blinkist. 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 Blinkist.
Okay.
So basically, go in, and then the different membership level. Then I get the premium And then I will be able to access all many, many books. But they give you a quick summary of what the book's about, highlight the what's worth noting. And then I just go through a bunch of them. I can listen to it, and then I can read them. And then I can, if I want to go deeper, I just go ahead and buy it on a Kindle and read it on my iPad.
Nice.
So because I believe while I'm focusing on the shoe list, I need to broaden myself for all the opportunities out there. So it filters through me, through all the knowledge I have built through all the, reading different books, magazines, and then I'm able to grab the opportunity when it presents itself. I think this is fundamental for any entrepreneur want to be do well and grow. So for a magazine, I read a lot of magazine as well. I have subscribed to a for the iPad app that now they call the Texture. Mm. I think it's about $10 a month, and I'm access to about I think 100 of the magazines, like Entrepreneur magazines, Fast Company magazine, Inc. magazine, and Wire, and all those related to business. Growth, productivity, entrepreneurship, I'm into it. I'm also, of course, interior design and things like that. Still my...
Right. You can't get rid of that. And, that, again, is why your website looks so good. It's back to that.
I want to,
think back to what, that preparation you took and you had that interest. You didn't apply it until now, and now you're applying it all the time on your website. I think that's really cool. Your one thing has definitely led to another for you. Okay, tools that you use for computers, internet, anything that you use that you think is worth mentioning?
Yes, I use the for repricing. I use App Eagle.
Okay.
I just use the basic options, not the premium. I think it's good enough for me for now. And then I use Inventory Lab. I think it does what it does, and then it's really it saves time for myself. So because one thing I like is the my prep company. I can give a permission, limited, on the limited access to the prep company to go in to list the product for me. So that definitely
nice.
Is a time saving. So I love that.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Right. And then my shoe numbers every month, I use the Inventory Lab along with the Seller Central to put the data together to give people the idea of how I'm doing with the shoes. So I think I use that too every day. And then the other one I used for my business, I will use the one that I think really be time saving is the Retail Aeson.
Yep, Retail Aeson. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's a pay program, but I think it's worth the investment to give me a quick access to save a bunch of the research time doing a product comparison between a store and Amazon. And then what else I use? I use the Aeson Spectre, and then as OA X-ray. Both are pay version of the Chrome plug-in. I think it saved me time also. And then there's another one I particularly like is the because I'm on Facebook a lot. I'm subscribing to 40 different communities, Amazon.
Wow.
It's kind of when you go through daily, then they pick up something new and you want to save them. So I use this tool. It's called the Facebook Chat Downloader. It's a Chrome plugin. Facebook, when it comes to picking up the gold nuggets, sometimes you just have to have a way to collect those nuggets and then review them to be able to make it happen in your life, right? Otherwise, you waste your time finding it useful, but not useful.
Well, you lose it so fast, right? The feeds disappear so quickly. So I think that's a really smart tool.
Yep, definitely.
Very cool.
Yeah, these are some of the. I use the Pocket to save the Pocket to save all the article I read on the internet. So again, later on, read it offline on my iPhone or iPad or iDevice or other. Time well spent is. Being productive is a big thing for me. So once I start reading something, I want to capture that essence, the knowledge, without going back, revisit a second time. That's a bit that means double my time, right? So I'm looking for ways to save my time in that way.
Love it. You're really maximizing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward, right? And we're trying to get them unstuck. They're at that $20,000 or $30,000 level. They want to get to that next level. They want to get to that success that we're talking about with a gated category like shoes or clothing or watches or what have you. Can you give us a tip or a trick that you think that our listeners can put into place in their business to help them move forward?
Yes. So I think I can speak for the shoe category. I know people have diversified. So some of them in 2016 want to get into the shoes category. Based on my experience doing well with shoes, so right now my limit is the capital I can invest in shoes. So what that means is I'm consistently making right now $5,000 a month on shoes. So what I need to do, if I want to scale it up, right, I want to make $20,000 net profit in shoes every month. So basically, I need to triple my investment, my buying budget. So I can do it because the structure is already there. You just pour more money in, and then I'll open up. The profit will go up accordingly. And then also, we'll open up more channel of acquiring more shoes, quality shoes. So budget is important, but to begin with the first 6 months, I will encourage you to go with the budget number I presented on the website for each plan. There's a guideline, but it will be a good starting point. If you give it, for everybody who wants to start it, you give it 6 months and follow what I've been doing, and then you will be able to generate a consistent net profit on a monthly level. So that's what all boils down to, right? ROI sometimes can be misleading, but at the end of the day, it's the net profit that really matters. So I want to encourage you to set in, based on your expectation, your understanding, set a monthly profit, say $1,000 to begin with, and I can help you to reach that as the first milestone, and then you can go up from there step by step. Definitely, it's achievable. If I can do it, I show you the way, and you can do it too.
Well, I think what you're saying, you know, is just, again, back to focus, right?
Yes.
Start with baby steps, build to something. You give a budget, use that budget, build on that budget. Again, my advice, don't use credit, just stay focused. Take your time. There is a longer time for selling, but boy, once you get that pipeline filled, man, I think this is great stuff. I think this has been very useful. And I think, again, you're setting the bar very high. You've done a lot of great things with the list. I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. You got me excited now thinking that something big's coming. So I'm really excited. I love it because I personally use it. You know, I'm not embarrassed to say that. You know, we're pretty heavy in these categories, and we really appreciate the work that you're doing for us, quite frankly, because you're buying me time. And as Harvey Specter says, you've got to buy time in this business.
Yes.
What's the best way to get in touch with you, Quincy? Right on your gatedlist.com?
Yes, I provide a convenient way for people to reach out to me, and I have on the main page on the website, on the far right hand side, there's a Got Question tab. That's the a general form that you can fill out to ask me anything related to shoes or anything in general. That's the most direct, easy way to get in contact with me on the website. But of course, you send me, you know, let's get connected on Facebook as well, because a lot of communication can be quickly. It can be done through the Facebook, just a private, you know, PM. And that way I can, if people have a really quick question, want to get an answer, that PM me on Facebook is the quickest way. If you have a scenario that you want to say, what would be my approach, I think you can use the web form on the website. That would be more appropriate.
Okay, but I have a link to both, and so okay. I just think that I appreciate you taking – man, I really do appreciate you taking the time, you know, and
thank you.
Appreciate you having it ready, you're being approachable for people, because you got a lot going on. I mean, you really do. You got a couple young kids. You got a lot, really a lot going on. So, but I really appreciate you taking the time tonight and getting into as much depth as you can. I really, really enjoyed it, and I know our listeners will too. You have a great night. Have a great 2016. Can't wait to see what's coming next.
All right. Thank you for the time.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Man, I'll tell you, it's a great interview, great guy, you know, really, really sincere, you know, list of 25. He makes sure he doesn't go over that amount. He makes sure that his staff is really well trained, really complete, so the data is accurate and complete, and it's consistent. I will say that. It is very consistent, and I think it's such a great place to go. Again, listen to his advice. You know, be patient. You will spend $1,000 on shoes. You will not see a return for quite a while. And as he said, between 10 or 12 and 18% will get returned. That's just the nature of the business. But again, think of it as a funnel. Pour into the funnel a few hundred dollars a month for, you know, a year or two, and all of a sudden you have a steady flow. So just keep thinking about that. I appreciate you taking time to listen today, and I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. Check us out, ecommercemomentum.com. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.